It's good to be with you to share God's word with you today. And today's reading comes from the book of Haggai and reading from chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honoured, says the Lord. You expected much, but see it turned out to be little. What you brought home I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labour of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. This is the word of the Lord.
I hadn't deliberately tried to choose a passage that had numerous tongue twisters in it for you, Diana, just to reassure you. Hopefully today you'll notice a new level of Bible teaching and anointing, because yesterday I graduated from Bible college. So today I'm going to speak to you from Haggai chapter 1, which Diana has read. I have never heard a sermon on Haggai myself, and I was actually surprised because when I was reading it, there's so much in that book that is really relevant to us and our lives today. So I'll just set the scene for you. Haggai was speaking to the Jews back who'd come with the first wave out of exile. So back when Moses was around, all the Jews were told, you know, he gave them the Ten Commandments. And they were also given in Deuteronomy blessings and curses, an option. If you follow God and his ways, you'll have blessings and you will be ruling the nations. If you don't follow God and you turn away and follow other gods, then you will get curses and you'll be conquered by other nations. And as time went on after King David, the people fell further and further away from God, and then the kingdom split into two, and both the northern and southern kingdom were conquered by other nations. And the southern kingdom of Judah, where we're looking today, where Jerusalem and the temple were based, they were taken into exile in Babylon. They weren't slaves. The Babylonians would come in, and when they took over a nation, they would displace them and move them somewhere else, because then that would disrupt all their way of life and their little strongholds and everything. And so the Jews, they weren't operating as slaves when they were in Babylon. And so what happened is the prophet Jeremiah had said beforehand that they would be in captivity for 70 years. And in the 69th year of that, King Cyrus and the Persians and Medes came and took over. They conquered Babylon. And a year later, Cyrus, an absolute miracle happened. God put on his heart and he said, okay, all you Jews, you are allowed to go back to your homeland, and I want you to rebuild the temple so that you can pray to your God for me. And I'm not only going to give you the resources from our royal treasury to rebuild the temple and command you to rebuild it, I'm also going to get out of the treasury all the gold and silver and brass objects that had been taken from the Jews' original temple. So it was amazing that they were still there, and it was an absolute miracle that this new king comes in and just says, you can go back. Now, not everybody wanted to go back, because life in Babylon was easier. If they went back to Israel, to Jerusalem, it had been totally destroyed. The temple was flattened. Life was hard there. In Babylon, they were trading. They were on major trade routes, whereas in Israel, that wasn't the situation. And so life, for those going back, would be a big challenge. There was a really long trip to get there. It would involve a lot of hardship, and they'd have to build everything from the ground up. So the people who went back there were the ones who were really passionate about God. They went for a spiritual reason, not for a comfort of life reason. And only 50,000 went back. So that involved 43,000 of normal people, and then and some singers and some servants. I don't know why the singers are classed separately, but, you know, whenever you're going to do something for God, you obviously need to take your singers along. So they went back, and they started off really well. So they were doing this for spiritual reasons, going back to the promised land and rebuilding for God. So these were people who were passionate about God and doing what God wanted them to do. And then when they got back, life was hard. They faced a lot of different challenges. And then they started off building their temple. They got all the things. And after about 2 years, all the work stopped. And then we had a period of 14 years after that. And then God sent the prophet Haggai. Not much is known about Haggai. He obviously was well known to the people, because it doesn't explain in the Bible who his parents were or anything like that. So he was obviously recognised as a prophet. He's believed to be the author of the book Haggai, which is five prophetic words that he gave to the people from God. And they were only delivered over a three-month period. Unusually for the Bible, he's very specifically timed. He's put the exact time so we know when he gave his words in the Bible. So he's got that. And he came to tell the people that God was unhappy because they weren't prioritising him. As you see from the reading, the first thing he said, I'll just pull up. He said that they had been building their houses, their own panelled houses, while his house remained in ruins. So there's a number of things that come out of this. The first thing is that they built panelled houses. So in that time, when the Babylonians had actually conquered the nation, they'd destroyed most of the trees. So timber had to come in from other countries. And these people had panelled houses. So they hadn't just gone back and spent time rebuilding their own houses, you know, basic living necessities, just to have somewhere to live in. They had panelled houses, which were usually reserved for the royalty. So there's some, because the first thing is that they'd not only not focused on the temple or stopped building that, but they'd actually been building luxury for themselves. And there's some question that perhaps they'd actually taken the timber that was actually designated by King Cyrus for building the temple and had been acquired for that, while they'd stopped building the temple, that they then used it on their own houses, because now they had panelled houses. So the first thing was that they weren't prioritising God and his worship. And remember, the first commandment out of the Ten Commandments was, you shall have no other gods but me. And in Deuteronomy, it actually says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. So God doesn't want to be a priority amongst a whole list of priorities. He wants to be the number one priority in our life. And he wanted to be the number one priority in their life. And over time, the fact that they left the temple in ruins means they weren't focusing on their worship of God, and they had fallen away with that. And I mean, that's relevant for us too, because Jesus in the New Testament, he also gave us that same word, didn't he? We needed to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. So he needs to be number one in our life as well. So that was the first issue. The second issue, as I said, they were building the panelled houses, and perhaps it even used resources that were meant for God to build their own houses. And they got caught up in the busyness of life. So that there was all these sort of issues. And then God says to them, well, because you've done that, you know, you're working hard, you are busy, you're going off and sowing and you're not getting much return, your animals aren't doing well, life's hard for you. And he says to them, this is because you haven't prioritised me and you haven't prioritised worshipping me. And I mean, that's a big challenge for us. I would just clarify here, we live in a sinful world and bad things happen to everyone, whether you're a Christian or not. We don't get a special Willy Wonka gold ticket when we become a Christian that says, no more challenges or trials for you. We also, there's things that happen to us in life that are just part of living in a sinful world. Not everything that happens to us that's bad has come from God. In fact, because he loves us and he cares for us and he gives us good. But in this particular case, the people were told by God, just as in accordance with Deuteronomy, when you serve me and focus on me and put me as number one in your life, you will have blessing, things will go better for you, and you'll get good productivity. And at the moment, you're not having good productivity, and it's because you haven't built my temple. So in this particular case, the things that were happening to them were because they weren't prioritising God. So God had told them there's consequences. And so what I would like to say today is, for us, that's really relevant as well. We need to actually consider ourselves. What are we focusing on in our life? Is God number one for us? Is he our number one, or is he our third or fourth? And the way that we can tell what we're prioritising, a good way, is to look at what we are spending time on ourselves, because we spend time on the things that we prioritise and the things that we enjoy. And so God here has actually challenged the people. He's told them, I want you, he says it twice in there, consider your ways carefully, or carefully consider your ways. He's asked them to sit back and do like a spiritual audit. What are you doing? What are you prioritising? And to consider what they're doing. Now, the good thing was in this case that when Haggai came and gave this word, the leaders and the people all went, oh my golly, we need to really change our ways. They'd already had the experience of people being taken off and being conquered by the Babylonians before. They didn't want to have a repeat and of being conquered by anyone. So immediately they turned back and started seeking God again, and it says they feared God. And feared God means they're not in terror of God, but in awe and reverence and worship of God. So they turned their ways back, and then they started rebuilding the temple. And the temple took a number of years to rebuild, and it was finished in 516 BC, which interestingly is actually 70 years from when the first temple was completely destroyed as well. So there was the 70 years of captivity, and then they came back, and then there was the 70 years from destruction of the temple until it was rebuilt. And then God says, when you read in the passage, he says, I will be with you. And God didn't wait until the temple was actually rebuilt. As soon as the people turned and started obeying him and actually seeking his face and worshipping him and made a deliberate decision to start obeying him again, God said, I will be with you. God doesn't wait till you've finished what he's got in store for you to do. He's with you. He wants us to be 100% obedient. And when we do love him and serve him and put him as number one in our life, I mean, he's promised he'll be with us anyway, but as you can see here, there was that special closeness of being with God and him giving them favour because they were honouring him and respecting him and putting him first. And I find that in my life, just with the time, it's easy when you get up in the morning. If I get up in the morning and I have my quiet time and I pray, things just sort of go better in the day. My to-do list gets down really well. But if I wake up in the morning and go, oh, I'll just make some excuses up, I'll do it later in the day, it never happens. And if I don't get my quiet time done, then suddenly everything just is very frustrating in the day. And I find that if I cut out my prayer time to save time, in fact, it actually costs me more time. I get far less done in the day and it's much more frustrating because I haven't prioritised God first. And that's what happens with me. But I've noticed that it hasn't just happened once or twice. It happens all the time. So I know if I want to clear through my to-do list and get things done, I need to actually prioritise that in the day because it just makes other things easier. And it's not just in that. God wants us to be obedient in every part of our life. He doesn't want us to just start well like those Jews did. He wants us to be serving him and growing in him and following him and placing him at number one in our life for the whole of our lives. And he wants us to finish well, not just start well, but also just have that close relationship through our whole of our lives. So I'd encourage you today from this passage, the first thing is to prioritise God as number one. The second thing is to look at, just as he's challenged in the passage, to consider your ways. Go and have some time with God and say, God, is there anything I should be doing for you that I'm not doing? Is there anything that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing? Am I prioritising you? What do I need to change? And practically, think about what you can do to change. And here in this case, when they turned to God and said, you know, now we're going to do what you want, God then gave them the specific plan. Go and get the timber and do this. He actually gave them set plans. So God will give you the next steps that you need to do whatever he's got in store for you. And for each of us, it's different. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, each of us are God's workmanship created in Christ to do good works that he's prepared for us in advance to do. So each of us has special gifts and abilities, and each of us has a special purpose that God has prepared for us. And so I just would encourage you today to just go and see. Sometimes he might give you something and you don't need to be, it's not something to do straight away. In this case with these people, in the Jews, they were told, you know, they were making excuses and going, no, it's not the right time now. We need to do that later. We'll build God's house later. And he held them to account on it and said, no. The king, how subtle do I have to be? Even the king gave you the resources and command from the king, go and do this. But other times, you know, for us, it might be that it's not the right time. But you can still prepare. If God's put something on your heart, even if it's not the right time now, think what would help you to do what he wants you to do better. So equip yourself. If he wants you to go and start a soup kitchen, start collecting your recipes together. If he wants you to be a great Billy Graham speaker, then start going to Toastmasters and practice your public speaking. Think what sort of things you can do yourself to just develop the gifts and things that would help you do whatever you feel on your heart that God's got in store for you. But he also wants us just to be obedient in our general lives and our general worship of him. So just like the Jews, when they were turned back to him and he said, I will be with, you know, I am with you. I mean, what a great and wonderful thing for them to know and be reassured of. So today, I encourage you, put God number one, consider your ways carefully. Is God number one? What do I need to change? And what does he want me to do? And then be reassured that he loves you, he cares for you, he empowers you, and he also gives you guidance on how to do what he wants you to do.